Well, who's gonna take it off?
Are we going already?
Yeah. Yeah, we're always going.
All right, another show.
Always running.
Another show, more dough. But Morgan is not here today, so Ferris is joining us. A lot of you people are Morganites and really love to watch Morgan. Yeah. You got the big guy into that.
Sorry for all the Morgan groupies, but yeah, you got me. So, you know, glad to be here. Thank you.
And we'll get it going. So, a couple of things that have happened. Obviously, we had this big blow up in Centerville with the gas main. And is that affecting all the homes? And right now, all the analytics are going on over, you know, checking all those gas lines up and down those Centerville.
It like cracked and then seeped into the soil.
I sold a house on Friday. We had a settlement on Friday on Buggy Whip.
Oh, God, that's right there.
Right there next door, right? The house next door. We sold the house.
Oh.
Luckily, this is why you always want to have a buffer when you sell. Luckily, we have she doesn't have to move until March 1st. Okay. So we got the house, had a 2-week buffer. We sell on Friday. The house blows up Saturday night.
Oh, my God. Oh,
my God.
And thank goodness everyone's okay. They got everyone out of the house. Safely.
How did they get him on before it blew? Did they know that it was going to blow up?
Well, one guy was still in there.
One person was still in there, and it was starting to spark up. And I think, you know, they got out before it, you know, everything
just fell off.
But, yeah, we had a settlement that day, Samson agent to Samson agent. My client moved in, blew up. So now we have a 2-week buffer. My contractor was supposed to come in there and, like, help fix a couple of things for her.
Right.
But yeah, they've been.
Well, she was out of the house, right? Did they evacuate all those houses?
They evacuated all the houses. They took my contractor. They told him, you got to leave the neighborhood. And, you know, so, you know, I'll let you know if they're still doing that. But as of.
They moved in. I think they're able to come back today.
Yeah.
So they're back in the house.
How do you stop it?
How do you not freak out if you're just sitting there and your neighbor blows up?
Yeah.
How do you go back to the house?
Or, like, what about, like, carbon monoxide? Yeah. Would that be leaking? Like, I don't know how.
So that's the other thing. Is that the carbon monoxide detectors weren't going off in her house. There was no issues in her house, right? So from what we found out, because, again, our contractor was there on Monday, right? Just checking on things.
Yeah.
And literally the police were like, you guys got to leave. Like, we are still checking on things. So they vacated the house. She's still at her house in South Riding, but she'll be moving over.
It's terrifying. Yeah.
Is it leaking inside, or was it in the
water? The day after she bought that, she settled on the house.
Yeah, that's really.
It was like in the soil. Like something, the gas was leaking in the soil.
And it blew up. So they're checking for leaks now. That is on the other. Most of our stuff that we work with is on Virginia Run side.
Yep.
That's on the other side of.
It's all crap.
Unbelievable. So. The number one thing in the news is artificial intelligence. And the big question is, does artificial intelligence help or hurt in the real estate market? You know, all these things, I'll tell you, the first thing, the number one thing, is more important than anything, is the pricing side. We know how much we take the pricing in. Colby and I went to a listing room yesterday. AI pricing engine said it's worth $895. The other one said it's worth $1.195 million. There's a $300,000 spread between the AI programs, and this is Realtor.com, Zillow, Redfin, Homes.com, RPR, Realtor Property Resource. So these are the things that people use. So last year, July 1, second half of the year, 47% of the homes did not sell in the market we were in. Did not sell. All of them were because of pricing. All of them. And we don't have to go, we're going to talk about other things with this AI, but all that's supposed to enhance how much money you make to sell the house. If you haven't priced it correctly or don't know how to price it correctly, AI is going to blow you up. So it's a very dangerous thing to have. You know, we go in and I say your house is worth $1.5 million. Zillow says it's worth $1.65 million. Zillow doesn't sell houses. And those AI bots are wrong. And they're misdirecting everybody. Compass has one. It misdirects everybody on what it is. If you can't authenticate not artificial intelligence, but authenticated intelligence, decide on what that house is, you're done. I mean, the whole transaction is bad. Let's say you have a bad house, bad schools, something's wrong with the house, you still just price it cheap. If you price it right, it's still going to sell, right? Yeah. So I will say that the number one and only thing with the AI stuff is pricing. If you get that wrong, the rest of what we're talking about is all a bunch of BS, right?
Sure.
Because if nobody comes in and nobody makes an offer, we can't negotiate, fix it up. You know, we can't do anything, right? We're kind of locked in, frozen. Right? What are you laughing at?
I think it's like a dating profile. Hey, you can make yourself pretty. You can put yourself in. You can get a new hairstyle. You can show me what makeup looks best. And then someone's like, yes, I do want to meet you. And you show up and you just look like a dog.
What a dog.
I've never been on Tinder, but I can imagine that AI can make you look great and skinny and pretty.
I can't tell you all the time I'd see the women realtors would have their picture.
Oh my God.
And then I'd finally meet them, and it's like, holy shit.
We were sitting in that Starbucks waiting for that chick to show up, and we're sitting and we're waiting, and she's got her picture on her email, and
we're still waiting.
Yeah. And all of a sudden she shows up, and we're like, no. You're not her. That's not her.
Catfish. So AI catfishes.
Yeah.
AI has a catfish.
Same thing with the price, too, right? Like they write, played it. Oh, yeah. And then
it's amazing what AI is doing now that the producers that I was talking to before we went on is saying one of the agents that you see on Facebook a lot or on YouTube, that's not really him. And it's artificial. How that's done is done through chatbot or whatever. So,
but it's really not him. They take his body him. And then
like he downloads a picture. He or she downloads a picture, and then they're like, create this.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden,
it creates it
with his voice and say these words. And
so that's kind of catfishing too. I mean, have you ever been catfished?
Again, artificial intelligence leads to a lot of
subject.
Well, no, I'm just saying you're right. It's catfishing, but
no. I did not confirm or deny that I have been catfished. Dad's like late night. He's like, I just can't sleep. It's 3 a.m. I'm working. And then really? There weren't computers back then. Oh, I mean, they're brand.
So, way back then, before we had computers.
It's like when my kids are like, back in the olden days, did you have a TV? And I'm like, what? Yes, we had a TV. Like, I'm not that old. They're like, you were born in the 1900s.
We got prank phone calls from Wyatt a couple days ago.
She was prank calling.
Yeah, she was.
Prank calling
like
every
like, four times back to back, yeah.
Yep.
Well, now their friends are just dying.
The caller ID shows up with my name. I mean, obviously people are going to know that it's Wyatt prank calling, but...
We didn't think it was you. We
have fun. You didn't think I was asking how many dumplings you wanted?
Yeah, it was Wyatt.
Is that catfishing?
No. Catfishing
prank
would be like AI. Like you doll yourself up and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to meet you, but I need you to send me some money. And and then I show up and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
What happened?
Me like the.
Or you just don't show up at all and you take the money.
Like the guy who is on a dating app and goes, this girl is my new girlfriend. He shows a picture of her and who's what she's doing. I'm like, nah. Fours don't get tens. Just try that. This is 6 years of knowledge. A four does not get a ten. Trust me. I do math.
Okay, your numbers.
Unless that four has got a lot of numbers behind it. Now in a bank account, maybe. Maybe. But it's not. It was so funny. If you're done, there it is. Look, see, we're going out. Like, have you met her yet? Nope. Well, I'm good.
So, yeah, that is catfishing.
That's catfishing.
You are giving someone a false pretense kind of media. It's like it goes all goes back to real estate.
Yeah.
You can doll the house up. You can use AI to transform the outside, the inside, the numbers. Well, and then you show up and you're like, woof.
I'll take it way less.
Buzz, your girlfriend.
That does help. I'll tell you a way that does help, though. when we take out, we did it yesterday.
Yeah.
Our walls were yellow. It didn't look good. This didn't look good. Took a picture of it and then put an AI, you know.
Show what it will
look like. Yeah, what it will look like. And then shows, oh, my God, yes.
Yeah.
Sellers don't have vision. Buyers don't have
that
vision.
That is helpful.
That is very
helpful. That is helpful. I think that's a useful AI tool. But when it comes to, like, pricing, where you need to authenticate it, and then, you know, I don't think that you should use AI to decorate the front of your house when your house looks like crap. You know,
right,
that
right.
needs to be, because I've seen some people, and they're like, oh my gosh, look at my beautiful landscape. And we're like, where's the bush?
Very virtual standards, one thing.
Yeah.
Changing the whole
thing. But like, painting, like, you did not have a pine tree.
Like, this is to our point. Yeah. And I know how to price, right? AI can't price a home. And you got to know how to home prep as well. You can't just use virtual staging and all this other stuff. Like, you have to actually go in, either stage the home or get a contractor in there to make it look good. Like, you still have to do the old fashioned ways of doing things that AI can never do for us.
Right.
Yeah.
What the AI does for us is it can show the picture to the seller of what I'm talking about.
Create the vision.
We can look at it and go, we gotta paint this, gotta do this, gotta do this. And then you go, never mind, douche. You do a picture, hit the button, and it shows you exactly what you're talking about. And they're like, oh yeah, I got it. So it does help a little bit on giving people.
I didn't know that you could create commercials or whatever by, like, I can just take a picture of myself and someone can make a commercial of me.
Yeah. And you talking. Dude, they can make the little babies dance. You know?
They were making babies dance when we were little.
I know, but I'm
like, that was funny. That was a commercial.
That old guys dance.
I was going to say, they made Trump
was snowboarding in the Olympics with his suit and tie on and everything.
He can make anything.
Yeah.
You can do anything. Though.
Careful what you click.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to tell. Nowadays, it's messed up because it's hard to tell. I click on things and I watch them. And I don't know if it's
I don't know if it's real or
because
not.
Because it's gotten so sophisticated that you can't tell.
And that's why I just tell my kids everything's fake.
Yeah, if it's online, I just tell it's fake.
Don't believe
it. You know, AI helped me the other day. I'm showing buyers a property, and we got this vacuum room. And they're like, how do you design this? And I did exactly what Keith said. I took a picture of it. I said, here's three different designs you can do. And they were just like, oh. And it made sense. Like, the AI really made sense with the room, but all you had to do is take a picture of it, say design it. There was a couch here, a TV there, a lamp there, you know, all that stuff. And
didn't really use an app for that.
I just used an app. I forgot which one it was.
And just tell your.
I need an app from my.
But what it does is it says, do you want it to look modern, comfy, cozy, country? What do you want it to do? Push modern and boom, there it is. What it looks like. I did it with our kitchen. It's like, I'm like, dude, kitchen. And I went, boom. And I went, I'm doing the kitchen.
Yeah.
Because you look at what it would look like.
Yeah, what it could be.
With nicer stuff. I'm like, oh my God, this is going to cost me 50 grand.
So I've got a million selfies in my thing. Like, oh wow, I could get a little.
Yes, I will do your hair, dude.
Dye clutter. Oh, so that's what I could look like. All right. I look in the mirror, like,
that's good.
Oh, sure.
AI can make the ball for you.
All right. So, the other things it's effective for that I think AI really comes in is when we're listing a house. And we know who the buyers are going to be. And those buyers are looking in McLean and Arlington and other places. Our artificial intelligence can go find them and say, look at this house. Come on over into Vienna.
Yep.
And once they come in, that house is worth 2.5 in Arlington, 2.6 in McLean, want $2 million in Vienna. Mm-hmm. And that, I will tell you, we've been doing this for a while. This really helps. This is probably one of the more powerful uses is to go find people and bring them into town because they think this house worth 2.3, not 2 million.
Right. Yep.
You know, so that's an effective use. So there are, you know, really, if you go to our webpage, Julie's put together a really nice thing that in real estate, does artificial intelligence help or hurt? And each segment, it will tell you how it either hurts or helps.
So in a nutshell.
In a nutshell.
AI will not price your house.
No.
AI can give you a vision for what you could do to your home.
Yes. Well, yes. Yeah. AI can help you find buyers for that home.
AI will not help you find a girlfriend.
Well, no. No. I don't want a girlfriend.
But it can help decorate a house. Well, hopefully not. Or not. Mom would be very upset.
Wait, no. AI?
I wouldn't mind at least getting catfished once more. Yeah. I mean, somebody send me something like,
hey, I saw you.
For anybody, you're looking really good.
Saw your podcast.
I've never gotten that.
Saw you at Bonarotti's.
So you guys have it easy. Like, you're a realtor, and, you know, you guys are attractive guy people. Look at first. I mean, for God's sake, I made it. $200 million I can look like first.
Yeah. Well, that's right.
You know, but this is what I'm stuck with. And I'm going up against all these really nice and attractive. And I'm like,
I'm talking. So it's the only same time thing. We take a stubby suit. You need to nip, tug, and pick.
Is that what you're saying?
Nip is low.
You know, nip and tug. What I'm trying to say is that the only thing I have is I'm really good at doing the pricing and making sure we launch and sell our houses. So, you know, I must be good. It must be smart because I'm not making money with looks.
Well, Casey, the one thing that AI can never do is take the years and years of experience that you've had with good deals, bad deals, sideways deals, okay, whatever it is. It can't take that over. Your experience trumps AI all day. Your experience. You know, you have to go through it in order to really hone in on what that house price should be, or your buyer, you know, what your buyer should offer for a property.
Yeah.
I mean, that's even more important. Like.
Boy, that really is. I got to tell you first, you're on the button there. We had a contract. Price came on for $2.2 million. Our thing says it's worth 2.3, maybe 2.3 and a quarter. And the bidding was at 2.3. We went to 2.32 because we knew that it was worth that and got that contract. So you're right. I mean, look, this is all about blending the top tools of AI with the top tools of authenticating what we've done over the past, whatever, how many years. And the problem is, if you can see it, some of the older realtors that I know, you know, were all up here and now they're down here, is because they never adapted to the new tools that there are available in real estate.
I was talking about this the other day. Toys R Us.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Why'd they fail? They never took the next step to go on the online, on the internet.
Right.
They think everyone's going to still come to their shop.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, if you're not changing with the times, yeah, you're right.
You're done.
I do miss the smell of Toys R Us.
Yeah. They got a bad thing with Bezos, actually. That's why.
Oh, is that why? Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, Blockbuster. I mean, you know, Blockbuster didn't make the deal with Netflix.
But Toys R Us, they made a bad deal with Bezos, and that's why.
Oh, yeah.
And then they took all their information and started selling the toys on Amazon.
There you go.
And just bankrupt.
You don't. And I'll give you another one of those. Danny Sampson walked into Wes Foster and said, if you give me $1 million, I'll close my office down.
Bet he regrets that.
If you give me $1 million, I'll close my office, I'll walk away, and I'll stop doing real estate. And now Danny does four times the business of Long and Foster.
Yeah.
Is that amazing?
Long and Foster even open?
Yeah, they are.
No offense, but no. I haven't done a deal with Long and Foster.
Yeah.
They're catfishing you.
Like 10 years.
In certain areas of the Washington metropolitan area, they're still strong. And
good.
And it does, you know, there are pockets of where it is and where it's not. I'll tell you what the big news was this week, as far as the real estate world is concerned. For a while, Compass has been trying to create an exclusive network where when you list your house, it goes into an exclusive network. The only people that can see it are Compass agents. Zillow, the biggest search engine out there, said, if you do that, I'm not going to let you put your houses on Zillow. You cannot put them on Zillow and your private network. So Compass sued Zillow. The judge not only threw that out or threw out the restraining order, they told him, you don't have a chance here. I mean, he really read them the Riot Act about, you know, putting it in this private network and really stopping what we're trying to do and get as many people to find a house, as many people to see a house as possible. So the big news is that Compass really, what they banked all their business on, this exclusive network, is gone. Because you can't, in good faith, say, I'll put it in this network, and it'll never be seen on Zillow. yeah. never be seen on Zillow.
I still don't understand. I don't understand. Like, when you're trying to sell this idea to a seller, like, oh my gosh, we're going to lease your house only to Compass, and it's going to be great, and we're going to get you an offer. Like, how do you spend that? Like, we've got, you know, 4,000 agents we're going to share it to instead of the 10,000 that could see. Like, I don't understand.
I'll tell you why. They're really good at selling this kind of thing. We have exclusive. We are the biggest. We have this. We have that. They are 14% of the market. Oh, we have big-time agents and all that. They want to see it first. If they don't buy it, we'll stick it on the internet, you know, for everybody else, right, on the MLS. So the agents really can sell this exclusivity. But what it really matters is for their buyers. They go to a buyer and they say, work with me, and you see all the houses. The other agents, Keller Williams, Sanford Roberts, they can't see the homes on our private network. Mm. So if you're a buyer, I would say, oh, so you can show me homes that aren't on the regular network. Yes, and that's what they were pushing. So a lot of the bigger agents were going, buyers, come work with me, and I can show you more houses than anyone else. Now, truth be known, Sampson Properties has an exclusive network, too. That as soon as you put it in the computer, it goes in there. All the agents see it. It's not online yet. But it's not the same. We're just showing it to all our people. We don't have this exclusive network. So Zillow saw it, looked at it, and said, that's fine. And so it allows us to do it. But if you put it in their network, you're done. So no listing agent, they'll write mine now, Kelly, can say, put it in the network, and we don't need Zillow.
And that's more of a pain for the sellers, because, like, a seller doesn't want to open their house to all these people for weeks on end. I mean, you got to keep it clean. You got to get the dogs out. You got to get the kids out. Like, you want to have it for the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, contracts on. Why am I going to let all these Compass people come through my house for 2 weeks and keep it clean and get it ready and then put it out to everybody else and then have more people tromp through my house for an extra week or so? I mean, that sounds like a nightmare.
And I just don't understand, like, how you can't, as a seller, understand what a disservice it is to alienate yourself away from the massive market that's out there and just offer it exclusively to a small 14% of the buyers.
You're 14% of the market. If anybody's going to do that, trust me, it's Sampson. They are 22% market share. Yeah.
But it just doesn't make sense to me. Like,
it truly does not make sense.
You're not gaining 22%. You're losing, you know,
78%. Yeah. Right.
That's what you're losing.
I can't wrap my head.
So we don't do it.
It's like that chick that just won all the gold medals, and he said, how do you feel about losing 2 gold medals or winning 2 silver medals? And she said, well, I'm the most decorated women Olympian of all time. So that's how I feel.
So,
It's the same. How do you feel about having 14% see your house or seeing, 100%?
I'm going to say they're really good at trying to get you to do that. And when you have intelligent people, they're going, well, I heard about, I'm thinking about.
Is it intelligent or manipulative?
Well, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's AI. I don't know. But all I know is sellers that are pretty smart, and they're going, well, I'm going to try this. But let me tell you this. That week of coming soon where you're going to try that is the most critical week of all time. Mm-hmm. Your listing house on Bryan Drive.
Mm-hmm.
It's $2.15 million. We've found it for $2.15 million. We're not seeing people come through in that 1 week. We've only got a couple showings. I need to have a lot more showings than that. So I went to the seller, and I said, the big buyer pool is under $2 million.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We got to get under $2 million, right? So she agreed. She goes, okay, I trust you. You know what you're doing. We're going to go under $2 million and watch that sucker drive traffic and bump that price over 2.5.
I've been getting notifications for the last 2 hours just showing.
Have you?
So, oh, good.
Yeah.
It's right.
Yeah.
So once you drop it under a bigger buyer pool, mm-hmm. and again, it was the 1 week that told me, dude, you're not going to make it. 2.15 is not going to make it. It tips me off. I go to $2 million. We'll get tons of, you've seen this.
Yeah.
And then they bid it up over $2.15 million.
And that's a huge threshold, too. $2 million mark, I mean, getting under that.
Not sure. Huge.
If you can dip under the $2 million, that's what the big buyer pool is. Well, it's kind of like, I was
like, and this is how we do it. Swimming else out there.
It doesn't matter. I've said it to everybody. I've said predictive analysis 1,000 times. I sit in a mastermind meeting for Samson Properties, right? You've been with me.
Yeah.
And somebody goes, well, I got a house in it, and it hadn't sold for 60 days. So what do I? Did you do a predictive analysis? What's that? We said it 1,000 times, yep. And people don't listen to us. So that's okay. That's all right.
Or they cut the, like, we had a house in my neighborhood, and they priced it at 1.7, and they didn't do a predictive. They just sat there, and then, like, a week later, they dropped it $100,000 after it was on the
market.
Now you just chase that fault.
I mean, and that's the other thing. It's like, hey, look, let's do the predictive so we don't have to drop a price right away, or we do the predictive to get more buyers in there to bid it up $100,000.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
You know,
hey, I just got one of that, though. We were in that meeting, the same one, and they were talking about AI and how it does it. So the person who I use AI, I told the AI, write an email explaining why I'm a good agent and they should stay with me. And it wrote an email, she sent it to the seller. I'm like, what the fuck is going on around here? Yeah. It's almost like you're in the Twilight Zone. The way some people use this new tool.
God, to be in high school with AI now would be amazing. I'd be like, write this paper.
Write my piece.
I need this.
Use
that'd be a genius. I would have gone to, you know, much better college. I'm really shot for the stars, but.
Better than Hartford?
Well, I wasn't going to put the school out there, but.
What's wrong with Hartford?
It's great.
Corfest.
Corfest is awesome.
The Highlanders.
Yeah. It's a great school. I'm just saying, you know.
You wouldn't have gone to school more?
Yeah. If I had help from AI and I didn't have to sit there and stay up all
night. If I would have partied more, I'd be like, hey, write this 10-page
piece.
Yeah, I could have gone either way.
Yeah.
My homework's done. I'm
like, oh, my homework is done. Okay, now we can go out.
My problem was like, my homework's not done. I'm still going out. That's where I reached.
So let's start.
I wake up early.
Let's get back to AI and real estate. Yeah. AI now, you can pick up your phone and you can say, who's the best realtor in Aldi? Who's the best realtor in Vienna? And they will bring up names of people that are really good at using AI to get their name seen on that screen. But if you take all of the Vienna homes, like there's three of them, you take all the Vienna homes of those people that it recommended, there's three people, they're probably about $10 million worth of business in Vienna. Mm-hmm. We did 150, but you don't show up. Yeah. So AI does help realtors promote themselves and their business to get more business. But, you know, when you have teams that average $6 million a person and our team averages $35, $40 million a person.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus. It's incredible. Morgan and Colby each are like here, and the next highest agent in Vienna is here.
Wow.
So both of them, they're 1-2 in Vienna, and they're almost double what the next closest realtor is compared to them, right? Yeah. That's old school shit. That's authentication. It is using new tools like we need to use, but that's old school shit right there.
I don't think you can say
shit. So maybe we won't say authenticate. Maybe we'll say old school shit. Well, let's talk about this while we got a couple of minutes.
It's the market.
Where is the market right now? So, we took a dump during the snow. The inventory went down. The buyer pool went down. We took 2 weeks off with the snow. It's coming back. The inventory is coming back faster than the buyer pool. There are a lot of people looking right now, but there are not people writing a lot of contracts. So, you know, there is a big difference right now between what we were hoping it would be and what it is. But good houses sell. And, you know, I was talking to a guy in commercial real estate. He said, look, I said, commercial must be a disaster. Price is falling 70%. And he said, the good A quality space, gone. They just take it. The C quality, dead. So as long as you are an A quality house, as long as you prepare it right and sell it and all that stuff, you're going to be, the buyers will buy that house. But if there are any fleas, if there's anything wrong with it, they're going to walk away. So, you know, as the A stuff is still selling, even though the buyer pool is a little soft, a lot of people looking, not that many contracts. I think it's maybe up 5% on contracts from last year, but the inventory is up about 30%. So inventory is coming back. We'll keep an eye on it. We'll keep everybody apprised. But again, when I'm talking with that seller over whether we should stay at 215 or go to 2 million, you're looking at it going, there's a lot of people walking around with an already on a contract. Yeah. This would die. You would die on this hill at 2.15. Let's get back. Let's get everybody in here, get bid milling the hell out of it. Because it's such a great deal. I would just say this. If you're looking for a house around $2 million, 2.1, 2.2, the best, finest finishes ever in the house, incredible. The tiles all from Italy and Greece, and every bathroom is a showcase. It's at 9222BryanDrive.com. It is
stunning.
The best home, custom home I've seen built in a long time.
Half acre lot, 3-car garage, chef's kitchen, beautiful bathrooms, huge closet.
Oh, yeah.
Massive closet.
Right off 66.
Awesome. Yeah.
So, anyways, that's what's coming up for us. Well, next time, we'll tell you how they turn out. You know?
Yeah.
We had another one we put on, beautiful house. It's in Vienna Windhurst. And that has plenty of people coming.
Mm-hmm.
So let it run. So we didn't have to correct price on that. The predictive analysis told us, don't worry about it. You got plenty of sales.
Yeah, we don't always drop price in predictive analysis. If the numbers are telling us there's this many showings, whatever, 8 or 10 showings, if we have, you know, 6 to 8 favorites on the MLS, then we price it right. And this thing's going to sell. And then all of a sudden, day one comes, and then we have 10 more showings that day.
Right.
Yeah. And we have 3 offers in hand by Monday, and you're like, wow. You know? So, like, we don't always drop the price of predictive analysis.
Right.
But it helps us figure it out, because if it's crickets, if we get 0 showings or we have 1 or 2 showings and there's no favorites online,
get out in front,
then you gotta get out in front.
And we also, when you're looking at the numbers, it's also the feel for, are there any fleas on this listing, number one? Is the buyer pool strong? Are they running contracts? Are they not? What's the inventory? What's our competition? So all this is gonna go into it. There is no AI in America that could figure that out.
Yeah.
There's no AI. And but we're not running. I'm laughing in my back. You know, I can see that now.
I know. Can't see in the back seat.
Pull the old lighthouse on him. What's going on back here? All right. Do you have any further?
No.
Just
lots of stuff.
Let's go. I'll let you know next time we get together.
Don't forget, next episode, we'll be taking your calls, so don't forget to call in and leave us a voicemail.
Nothing about...
And Cody, you're not allowed to give this voicemail. Just stay out.
Nothing about cocks and dicks and Fairfax Circle.
Yeah.
I almost let you.
That was so funny. It's
a little
that
hard was getting out starving.
That was the best call. I think I was dying. Well, thanks for tuning in.
All right, we'll see y'all next week.
Yes.